the disappearance day of Sheepod, Madhava Nupuri. I'll just read one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then we'll speak about Sheepod Madhava Nupuri. So, and actually we'll read this interesting verse about Madhavendra Puri's leaving this world and what he chanted and what he concentrated on. And actually we'll tell a little story about that, and then we'll tell about the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri. So we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, chapter 4, text 197. So, Omagana Timadanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meritam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, this is the verse Madhavendra Puri chanted again and again at the end of leaving of his, we don't say, actually it says material existence, in other words, his pastimes within this material world, although he had no material existence per se. So, Aidina Dayadra Natahe, Matura Nata Kadava Lokyase, Vidayam Twara Loka Katuram, Daita Brahm Yati Kim Karom Yaham. The translation is, O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Matura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So, of course, this is in the mood of Vipralamba Seva, an intense, what we call loyam, intense hankering for seeing the Lord or perfection in the service of the Supreme Personality Godhead, and this is the price of pure devotional service. Actually, this is the price for Raghunuga Bhakti, too, that if one wants to come to a higher platform of devotional service, one has to really hanker for it intensely. So we'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas, or transcendental parties. Out of the four sampradayas, the Sri Madhvacharya Sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmi Pati, there was no realization of devotional service and conjugal love. Interesting. Of course, we do have Lord Brahma, who in his Brahma Sangita, he has some understanding of it, but not realization of it. There's a difference. In other words, they understood about it. That's theoretical. But to realize it and enter into it and to exhibit the mood of this Madhurya Lila, conjugal love, relationship to Krishna and the gopis, there was no realization up to the time of Madhavendra Puri. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured southern India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. So in other words, the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, Madhvacharya is different than Madhavendra Puri, just so those of you who don't know the difference. Madhvacharya was the great devotee who defeated, he was Dvaita, that's his philosophy. He's the Acharya, the founder Acharya, the modern day and age, of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And so he taught this duality. And his teaching of duality was so extreme that he taught that there are some souls who are eternally conditioned and there's no chance of them ever coming back to home, back to Godhead. And there's some souls who are eternally liberated. So it's really extreme duality. And another aspect of this duality is that the Lord is there in the spiritual world, and he has a spiritual energy, but he's not really that much present other than the super soul, etc., in this material world. So that's extreme duality. You don't see the Lord in everything and everywhere. In other words, like Srila Prabhupada said, when we're sitting on the seat, we can think we're sitting on Krishna because it's Krishna's energy. In other words, he didn't teach a Chincha Beta Beta Tattva philosophy. And also his followers were extremely ritualistic. And so when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confronted the Tattvavadis, he approached them or confronted them with this particular concept, and he had some arguments, and he defeated them, of course. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus, he addresses the Lord as Dina Yadra Nath, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. So, I'll explain what Dina Dayadra Nath means, the Lord who is most compassionate upon the poor. And that doesn't mean like the Dharidra Narayan philosophy, that those who are actually poor are more fit for devotional service than the others. It means that one who is, as Queen Kunti describes, a kinchana gotra, and not taking shelter in Janmaishvarya Shutasya Shibir Edamana Dapuman, taking shelter in so-called the beauty of this world, Shibir, Aishvarya, money, isn't it? Janma Aishvarya Shutasya. That means someone who's very learned and he can defeat anyone else. Then such a person, they may be learned, they may be handsome, they may be or beautiful, they may be powerful, they may be rich, but one who is not actually considering these things to belong to him, that's the point. Then he can actually, he or she, can actually take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you have like King Prataparudra, who was extremely rich and famous and everything like that, and he was able to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya because he took a humble position. The exhibition that one is actually feeling himself not the proprietor of all these things is that one takes a humble position and serves the Lord. Just like many years ago we had one devotee who came from, let's say, a so-called high-class family. Of course, in the West, I mean, there's no high-class families. What they do is they eat pigs and they think they're high-class. So he came from a very so-called high-class family where he had, actually we had two people, one boy and one girl, where when they were young, they had servants to take care of them, tie their shoes. They didn't even tie their own shoes. They didn't even know how to, when they came to the movement, they had to show them how to tie their shoes. And even practically brush their teeth. They didn't need an electric toothbrush because they had a servant to brush their teeth for them. And so they were so sophisticated, to get them to do some menial service was like pulling teeth. This is, it's beneath me, like that. So such a mentality means that one cannot actually achieve Krishna. One has to consider himself Gopi Bharata, Parakamala, Dasa, 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 Anandasa. One has to consider himself a humble servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord. And Prabhupada said, the more removed you consider yourself, the more exalted you are. This is very, very important. And the problem is that when one gets some position, one forgets that. I was just watching an interesting movie about the Ramayana. And you have Sugriva. And Sugriva was living in Mount Rishimukh. And he was quite humble chap, or monkey. as the case may be. But then as soon as he regained the kingdom, for his brother was killed, Brother Bali was killed, and he regained the kingdom and he took over Kishkinda, as soon as that happened, he became immersed in enjoyment and false prestige. I mean, he was getting drunk, not only with his wife, but also his wife of his brother, and they were both completely, all three of them were completely intoxicated. And so when Lakshman came, this story is in the Valmiki Ramayana, not in the Tulsidas Ramayana. But when Lakshman came to remind him of his duty to Lord Ram, he was afraid to come out and see Lakshman, so he sent Tara out. And Tara was described in the Valmiki Ramayana, her eyes were just like rolling back and forth from drinking intoxication. And she had to just sort of protect Sugriva. So the point is that he was very humble before, but as soon as he got something, his kingdom back, it just corrupted him. And of course, Lakshman actually threatened, and that was a wake-up call for him, and then he became humble again. When you realize you can die. I mean, some people, they only become humble at death, and some people don't become humble at death. So, we will, in other words, sometimes it's described that if we won't pay obeisances to Krishna, then at the time of death, we're forced to pay obeisances to Krishna in the form of death. Matru sarvaha rasyaham. You know, everybody offers dandavats, at least on their back, at the time of death, isn't it? In the morgue. Well, that's on their back. Usually they don't put people in the morgue on their stomach. So it's not real dandavats. But anyway, they're offering obeisances. Yeah, because dandavats, because it's the eight parts of the body are touching the ground. So if you don't want to become voluntarily humble, then you'll become involuntarily humble. So if you become voluntarily humble, then you could chant, and then you become happy. Otherwise, you know, Krishna twists your arm behind your back and become humble and say, uncle, as we used to do when we were young. Then, you know, that's not a very happy thing. Okay, so, such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service because Krishna had gone to Mathura. Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus, my dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? Of course, there's even that story in Krishna's pastimes where, first of all, the gopis were thinking were the most fortunate girls in the world, in the universe, and Krishna left them. And then Radharani, she was thinking, oh, Krishna left all the gopis for me. And then she said to Krishna, you know, please, I'm tired, please, you know, please carry me. And so Krishna said, okay, I'll carry you. And the next minute she looked around and Krishna was gone. So Krishna does that even with great devotees, Srimati Radharani. So what to speak of us? So we should be scared of becoming proud. Because yashyaham anugrinami hariche tadanam shanai, that Krishna will take things away from us. So that's one impetus for being humble. At least you can be humble out of fear. If not, you know, if you don't have that realization, at least if I'm not humble, that Krishna's going to smash me. So, my dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor and you are very merciful, so kindly have compassion upon me and let me know what when I shall see you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani, and she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. So actually now we'll talk about life or some of the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri. And actually there's one story before I start in regard to what Prabhupada just said in his purport, that once upon a time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, and he came across a Brahmin who was dancing in ecstatic love and exhibiting the mood of a conjugal attraction towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, he said, "You must have some connection with Madhavendra Puri." Because he understood, without a connection with Madhavendra Puri, there is no possibility of exhibiting those ecstatic emotions. And this Brahmin revealed, yes, Sripad Madhavendra Puri was touring, and then he initiated me. And he was a disciple, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances to this Brahmana because the Brahmana was a god-brother of his spiritual master. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always observed etiquette. It's interesting, that's another point, that if someone was the god-brother of his spiritual master, he treated him just like his spiritual master. Now, even if the person did something that he didn't like, he sort of chastised them in the proper etiquette way. There was one disciple of was it Madhavendra Puri or Ishwara Puri? Anyway, but it was there was one disciple of Madhavendra Puri who I think was Ramananda Bharati, who was dressing in deer skin. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really didn't want his sannyas associates dressing in deer skin. I guess he was compassionate to the deer. Even though in the Bhagavatam it says that sannyasi should dress in deer skin. But Lord Chaitanya didn't want that. So when he saw Ramananda Bharati, even though he was on a more exalted platform in terms of etiquette-wise, he said, "I cannot see you. Ramananda Bharati is not here. My spiritual master, Ramananda Bharati, is not here." Because my spiritual master, Ramananda Bharati, would never dress in deerskin. This couldn't be Ramananda Bharati. So he observed the etiquette, but at the same time gave him the sauce, as they say, or chastised him. So Lord Chaitanya always did that. Even with his own godbrothers, there was some discussion when Govinda came, because Govinda was sent by Ishwara Puri to be Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant. And so when Govinda came, and Govinda was Lord Chaitanya's godbrother, Lord Chaitanya was thinking, should I accept him as my servant? Because it's not proper to accept a godbrother as your servant. And there was some discussion, and finally Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that the order of the guru transcends all etiquette principles. And the order of the guru was, the order of Ishwara Puri, was that Govinda should serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you see this nice etiquette was always exhibited in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It's not like in America that everything is one. There's no etiquette. Everyone talks back to everyone else and goes on the internet and says all sorts of obnoxious things. There's no fine behavior here in America. It's just like... And of course, in India, it's getting to be the same. Like I just got an email from one of the people I'm preaching to, not initiated disciple, but she considers herself to be a disciple, even though I haven't initiated her. And she said, "Oh, you're such a wonderful guru. I know you'll accept that, it's that I really need to live with my boyfriends, not just in singular, but plural." Yeah, and she's from a high class Brahmin family too. So-called high-class Brahmin family. But, it's in South India, it's in Hyderabad or something, where everybody's got sophisticated because of the technological, the outsourcing from America, so that everyone's sophisticated. There's nightclubs there and everything. And even in Mayapur, in the Ghat, right near the temple, they have raves every night. I don't know if you know what a rave is. So India is gradually losing its culture because of the media and the influence from the West. So, but there's so many wonderful aspects of the culture and etiquette. It just makes life so nice. And we should appreciate that and try to institute that in our Krishna consciousness movement. Anyway, let's get back to the point of Madhavendra Puri. So, as I stated before, Lord Chaitanya considered that Madhavendra Puri was the source of the symptoms of devotional service based upon the conjugal mellows. Mm. So, also Madhavendra Puri initiated Lord Nityananda. Mm. Lord Nityananda met Madhavendra Puri in western India while they were both on pilgrimage. Madhavendra Puri was with all of his disciples, and Lord Nityananda was more or less alone. He traveled alone after he left home. He left, Nimai left home, Nitai left home at a very early age, and his father, Adai Pandit, practically died of a separation. This is like Lord Ramchandra and Dasarath, similar to that story. So he met Madhavendra Puri, and when they saw each other, immediately they recognized each other and they embraced, and they fell on the ground unconscious for like several hours. So all the disciples were circling around, just wondering, disciples of Madhavendra Puri, what is this? Gurudev is unconscious and this other sannyasi, what's happening here? And so then they had discussions about Krishna and so many nice things. And it's described that Lord Nityananda took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. Also, it's described that a Dvaitacharya took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. So you have like two members of the Panchatattva take initiation from Madhavendra Puri. And of course, Lord Chaitanya took initiation from the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So you actually see the whole Panchatattva is connected very much with Madhavendra Puri. So, of course, Madhavendra Puri had some disciples that really didn't come up to snuff, as they say. I don't know where that expression came from. Came up to snuff, anyway. That's England English, UK English. And some disciples, it's not that every disciple is actually a disciple. What do I mean by that? Disciple means discipline. And that's what makes a disciple a disciple, not initiation. Initiation means to begin, means you're given the opportunity. But to be a disciple means shash datu, the root shash, which means discipline. And actually, Prabhupada said sometimes that either you follow the shastra or the shastra. Shastra means the book, the discipline or the words. And shastra means the stick, the stick. So you got a choice. You can follow one of the two. So so he had some disciples who went off the rail. That's another nice expression. That's better than snuff. So, and one of them was Ramchandra Puri. And we talked before about how when Madhavendra Puri was leaving this world, he would exhibit symptoms of separation from Krishna. And these symptoms, divyon mada, appear sometimes to be like craziness. Like someone is completely crazy. I mean, sometimes they're foaming at the mouth, exhibiting the vyabhachari bhavas, tears pouring from the eyes, foaming at the mouth, fainting, devastation. And so Madhavendra Puri was exhibiting these things. And this Ramchandra Puri, he was quite proud. He started to preach to his guru. He said, look, if you're actually on the Brahman platform, then you're not nishochati kongshati. You're hankering for something to be with Krishna, and you're lamenting because you're not with him. So the two points that disqualify you from devotional service, I mean, I'm giving a purport on it. Like if we see someone, like Prabhupada said, a shudra means to lament. Like if we see someone lament, and now we're not talking spiritually, that means they're actually a shudra by quality. Oh, no one loves me. I gave so many years in the Krishna consciousness movement, and what do I have? An old body to pay for it. That's a mode of ignorance. We should be thinking, we're so fortunate we got to engage even one second in devotional service, not, oh, nobody knows the troubles I've seen, nobody knows the sorrows,
oh, 16 rounds, and what do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt, as the song goes. You know that song? That's an old that's an old song from the South, right? So anyway, so this lamentation is generally something that this is like, you know, what are you going to do? You don't lament, just fight. Fight Maya. Or if you're a Kshatriya, you fight your enemy. So this Ramchandra Puri, he was advising his spiritual master, don't lament Gurudev. Brahma Bhuta, Prasanatma, Nashoshati, Nakonkshati. You should be on the Brahma. And Madhavendra Puri got so angry that he said, you know, I have not reached Mathura. And this fool has come to harass me. Get out of here. I don't want to see your face again. And so because of that blessing from his guru, he gradually dried up and he became a severe critic of Vaishnavas. He would set them up in such a way so he could criticize them. It's called a sting operation nowadays. You know what a sting operation is? That's when the police set you up, you know. They put marijuana in your house or something like that, and then they arrest you. So he would actually convince devotees to eat more and more and more. And after a while, he would criticize them. You eat too much. I heard the followers of Lord Chaitanya eat too much, and now I've seen it as a fact. Or even criticize Lord Chaitanya because some ants were crawling in his house, in his hut. He said, this sannyasi is eating sweets. And so Lord Chaitanya had to reduce his eating to basically half or even less because of the criticism of this Ramchandra Puri. So he followed etiquette. So he didn't argue with Ramchandra Puri. So anyway, so that was one story about Madhavendra Puri's passing away. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally told the story of Madhavendra Puri when he reached Ramuna. Ramuna is in Orissa. It's where the Shirachora Gopinath deity is. And Lord Chaitanya went to see the deity, and the flower crown fell on Lord Chaitanya's head, and then Lord Chaitanya told the story of Madhavendra Puri. So the story is as follows, because actually we don't have a lot of time. Once upon a time, Madhavendra Puri was in Vrindavan, and he was in the topmost order of sannyas life, which is Paramahansa, which means you don't even ask for food. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Some of us who are on lower order of sannyas, we go to Walmart to buy our boga. So, not that we don't ask, we don't only ask for it, we go shopping for it. So, and spend Krishna's money for it, which is pretty low order of sannyas. So Madhavendra Puri got to Govardhan. And he circumambulated, took bath in Govindakund. And he basically wasn't eating, and he didn't care about it. You know, it's interesting. You go to people's house, and they say, aren't you going to eat? Aren't you going to eat? You have to eat. You have to eat. I mean, people are so attached to eating that sometimes when we have to catch an early flight at 5 o'clock in the morning, they want us to eat breakfast before we get on the plane. You know, it would definitely make us sick. But they said, you have to eat. You have to eat before you go. So people are so attached to eating. But sannyasi like Madhavendra Puri, it's just like, if food comes, it's okay. Food doesn't come, it's all right. Like Lakshman, he fasted the whole time when living in the forest with Sri Ram. So finally, he was chanting, and a little boy, cute little boy, a little cute, came with milk, and Madhavendra Puri questioned, you know, who are you? And the boy just said, no one fasts in our village. And here, take this milk. I'll come back later to pick up the pot. The boy never came back to pick up the pot. And that night, Madhavendra Puri had a dream. And that dream, the boy came to him. And he took him by the hand and told him that basically he was Krishna. And that he had been hidden in the bush because the Muslims attacked. And when the Muslims attacked, they used to hide the deities. Sometimes they would even put the deities in the lakes. And they would take the deities later on out of the kunds. So the next day, and of course when Madhavendra Puri had that dream, he woke up immediately, started crying. He said, I have seen Krishna. And I didn't know it. You know, he was just like lamenting again about this. So the boy also told Madhavendra Puri in the dream that my name is Gopal. Not the Gopal here. And I was installed by Vajranabha, the great-grandson of Krishna. And you should construct a temple on top of the hill and get me out. So the next day, they found the deity, and with the choppers, you know, the knives, they cut all the bushes away. And they carried the deities to the top of Govardhan Hill, and they installed the deity on top of Govardhan Hill. And it's described, they used water from Govindakund, and they had 900 pots and a giant abhishek in which they bathed the deities, not only with water, but what's called pancha gavya, means the five products of the cow, even the urine and everything, and milk and yogurt, a ghee, and then panchamrita, which is like honey, yogurt, ghee. And they distributed prasadam to everybody. And Madhavendra Puri conducted an initiation in which he initiated pujaris to take care of the deities. And so when this ceremony became well known, all the villagers around, they would come. And every day there was another abhishek because the villagers would come for this. Also in Anakut, which means offering all the grains, like mountains of grains. There's one place right next to Govardhan Hill called Anakut Kshetra, which is where they piled the grains. It's right next to this city called, not city, but town called Anyor. They don't pronounce it Anyor, they pronounce it Anyor. There, that's the Braj pronunciation of Anyor, which means give me more, because that's when Krishna became very greedy and wouldn't be satisfied until they gave him a tulsi leaf. So the ceremony went on and on for many days, and everything was going nicely for a while, but then Krishna has to do something like he usually does. You know, you can't just like settle down. You know, all right, we installed the deities. Jai, Jai, Radha Gulokananda. Krishna puts his 2 cents in and comes in a dream. You know, why didn't he leave well enough alone? So, and then comes in a dream and he says, I've been hot. You know, you got to get some sandalwood. Of course, Madhavendra Puri didn't lament when he got an order from the Lord. He didn't think, you know, everything was going so nicely. Why do you change things? So, you got to get some sandalwood because actually the deity said, I've been in the bushes for so many years and I'm still hot, even though you bathed me so many times. So, Madhavendra Puri went towards Bengal. And then Bengal, he initiated the way to Acharya because he was on his way to Jagannath Puri to pick up the sandalwood pulp. Then he went to Ramuna. And on the way to Jagannath Puri, stopping in Ramuna because it's right near Jagannath Puri, he asked about the offerings that they made for Gopal there, Gopinath, Shirachura Gopinath, because he wanted to make the same thing for Gopal. And they told him there was Amrita Keli, that means nectar, offered to Gopinath every day. This is like the sweet rice. They even keep the cows there right next to the altar. I don't know if anyone here has been to Ramuna. Anyone here been to Ramuna? I have. No one else has been to Ramuna. It's a very beautiful place, very quiet place. Madhavendra Puri Samadhi is actually in Ramuna too. So, what? There may be a Pushpa Samadhi there, but I didn't see the Samadhi there, Narottam. So, anyway, so the cows are actually connected to the altar just by a wall that's separated. Anyway, so he wanted to taste it, but he was ashamed that he was thinking of tasting it before the offering was made. But the deity had a plan, and that night the pujari was woken up by the deity, and the deity said to the pujari that I've hidden some sweet rice from Madhavendra Puri. I kept it under my cloth. And so the pujari took a bath, of course, entered into the altar, went into the marketplace where Madhavendra Puri was, because Madhavendra Puri was embarrassed that he was thinking of eating food before it was offered. It's interesting. Sometimes devotees, they become anxious to eat food before it's offered, and they say, is it prasadam yet? And that sort of negates the whole process of offering when you say that. You know, anyone who lusts after food before it's offered means you can't offer it anymore. Anyway, according to strict temple standard, don't do that at home because you'll be throwing food away all the time. So he took the sweet rice, and each day for the rest of his life, he ate a little piece of that pot. He kept the pot with him. Then he left Ramuna, went to Jagannath Puri, got the camphor and sandalwood, two servants, and he was on his way back to Govardhan. And on the way back to Govardhan, he stopped at Ramuna again. He had a dream, and Gopinath told him that, Gopal told him, I've already accepted the sandalwood, and you should offer it to Gopinath every day. He wanted to save Madhavendra Puri the trouble because the Muslims were there and traveling, and there were thieves and dacoits. So this is the story that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told about Madhavendra Puri. He was so dedicated to the deities, and he had nothing, and basically very, very austere, but whatever Krishna told him to do, he did immediately. He considered himself to be a humble servant of Radha and Krishna. So this should be our mood in devotional service, that we're ready to do whatever Krishna wants, even if he sends food or doesn't send food. There's no record of a devotee starving to death. All right. Any questions or comments? We have about a half a minute left to class. Yeah. Yeah. That's an understatement. So... Hanuman.
Yeah. This is like,
we have to see examples of nice culture and appreciate it, then we'll emulate. You can change things even when you're an old person. It's not impossible, even though it's more difficult. It's difficult to teach an old dog new tricks, as Prabhupada said. So even if we're old... Of course, I'm not saying I'm an old dog. But even if we're older, we can change our ways by the proper association. An example. We see how nice the Vedic culture is, you know. And it's so sweet, you know. You become attracted to it. Yes. Yeah, you'll be happy.